Yeah, what was I just saying? I forgot.
You've been writing?
Yeah, about media and technology and related issues.
Mm-hmm.
And ethics, the ethics of media dominated the society,
mm-hmm.
or the lack of ethics. And recent and last, well, about 18 years ago, we started lobbying for information about herbal birth control,
mm-hmm.
which at that time virtually no one had heard of it. There was only a few herbals. One of the more popular herbals was John Luss Herbal,
mm-hmm.
and which was available at health food stores, that listed abortificans and amenagogues, which are the two classes of, pardon me?
Right.
Are you familiar with those?
No.
Okay, well, this is the issue. This is how the issue started in terms of mediation and so on, because if you read Bagdikian's work, The Media Monopoly, he argues that the media is actually does belong to the public de facto, but it has been, so to speak, hijacked by vested interests. This argument, of course, has been very popular with every kind of political group now. It's like the right is saying they don't have media access and there's a monopoly, and the left is saying it, you know. But the ultimate reality is that, in fact, there is a controlling interest, and that controlling interest happens to be de facto the pharmaceutical industry, and the which is kind of an offshoot of the junk food cartel,
mm-hmm.
The sucrose business.
Mm-hmm.
So what that means to women in terms of birth control is that the only thing that they're apt to hear, and this is especially important for children in the third world and everywhere, the only kind of birth control that they're going to hear about, generally speaking, if they hear of any at all, is going to be, generally speaking, pharmaceutical methods,
right.
Pills and so on, which they can little afford most of the time,
mm-hmm.
and have very little access to. And so I've argued to, like I said, 18 years ago we started this sort of campaign. And as a consequence of that, at that time, Roe and Wade was very big on the public mind, and the United States was divided into camps over whether there was, should be abortion, and a pro-choice and against, and so on. Well, the bottom line is, of course, if you consider herbal birth control and what it actually is, the whole issue of abortion doesn't even become an issue, because amenagogues actually induce the flow of menstruation, actually causing conception to be stopped right before it even starts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's with a time-tested natural, I mean, in terms of the Roman Church, they talk about natural birth control. This, in fact, is the natural birth control that was used for centuries by all the indigenous cultures up until the period of colonization after the Industrial Revolution, where the new medicine and the new religion actually wiped out all of the so-called witch doctors and witches and everyone else who were practicing the old medicine, which included herbal birth control and the use of the menagogues. Now, at the time, like I said, there was nobody, virtually no one knew about these things, and there was a Harvard University professor by the name of John Riddle who actually wrote several works. One of them is called Eve's Herbs, which is a definitive work on what exactly happened in the 16th century when the Inquisition and the medical monopoly of the day decided to wipe out all of the practice of herbal medicine under the title of witchcraft, mm-hmm. and burnt all the practitioners and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And he then points to the rise in population, and the curve starts to take off in Europe. There's like a 45-degree curve. Population starts to rise dramatically. Fertility rates rise dramatically in Europe up until the 18th century, where we have, as a consequence of the rise in population, the human fodder to create the Industrial Revolution, and of course with that the extension of that throughout the world through the colonization and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a consequence, all of the colonies, China, Africa, India, and so on, are now overpopulated, and the greatest brunt of that is the, you know, children having children. And so our argument has been to UNESCO and to others that basically there should be a very, if we're talking about education, it should be on the mandate. The very first thing that the children should have access is to their indigenous ancestral lore, and their and the herbal lore and so on and so forth that they had at one time, that was taken away from them by the colonial interests. And having that, they would then have an option to use herbs as opposed to birth control or other things that don't work very well, like IUDs and so on and so forth, and not conceive. And so what we're proposing is that we set up some sort of a media or advocacy campaign to convince governments. I mean, we've spoken to the Mexican government, and there's as a consequence, I think, of our some of our activity, not only was the book actually forthcoming after that, but also in the Himalayas now, they've again started research that was actually cut off in the 60s into certain Himalayan herbs which are used for that purpose. But these herbs are actually quite common, and they're indigenous to different territories. There's different herbs, like European pennyroyal, for example, that's indigenous to Europe, but there's also various herbs that the American indigenous people used for centuries.
Right.
And so I think I can guess, I mean, I think that if you've been following so far, we can see where I'm going with this and where I'd like to take it.
And just how exactly do you see us involved in the way you're looking for us?
Well, I don't know, and that's why I wanted to talk to you and present you with the information, first of all, because the very fact that we don't have this information, I think, is critical, especially, you know, if we're going to talk about children having children, then, you know, like, what is going to prevent children from having children unless we, you know, teach children that, that this is not a healthy thing, that, for example, that, you know, some mediation. And so I'm arguing for a propaganda, if you want, or a ministry, to present this information to children all over the world so that they have it. And this is something that they can receive, even if, I mean, you know, heaven knows the religionists seem to be able to get there even if they're illiterate before us, you know? Mm-hmm. And so do the pharmaceutical companies, and so do the cigarette manufacturers, for that matter, you know? The soda pop manufacturers and the bubble gum manufacturers, they seem to be able to get in and deliver information to these children, whereas this kind of information isn't even available to even our educated, so-called educated women of today, who virtually know very little or practically nothing about these things. And so we're arguing that there's a kind of artificial ignorance going on that's preventing their vested interests. Obviously, from the perspective of the pharmaceutical industry, it's of very little interest for them to present this information via the media that they control. So there's the problem, I think. But ultimately, I think the onus is especially on for nonprofit societies like yourself to take this up and say, look, present it to the public and say, this is what's been going on, and this is what can be done about it. Perhaps, you know, I don't know. I'm just at this point presenting you with the information, which, you know.
So I think what, if you want to look at this more closely, like if you could send us something with like what you might want us to do, your objectives and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of like sexual and reproductive education, most of what we do is really related to HIV prevention with young people.
Which is condoms, which again are pharmaceutical.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's great, except that most of those kids are not going to ever get condoms, and generally speaking, they're not going to use them anyway, and it's just not going to work. It doesn't work, and the proof is in the pudding. I mean, we just have to look at what's happening in the third world, and even in our own society, to see that these methods are just simply not working. And So, but, you know, again, you know, the very fact that children don't even know that it's, I mean, the fact that there isn't even any instruction, it should be, I'm talking about law here, I'm talking about government, you know, government should be induced to actually intervene and say, because, you know, they're actually responsible, supposedly, for the public that they are, you know, hired to be responsible for or mandated to be responsible for. So the onus is really to, you know, and I think that the governments are should be made responsible, and the pharmaceutical industries need to be, you know, put at arm's length. In other words, I'm not saying that because actually pharmaceutical industries could be a great ally if we could convince them to cut about 99% of their profits.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, if a young girl can grow a plant in her, on her windowsill, it doesn't cost her anything to do that, and if she can make a tea for herself, which is how these amenagogues work, they're actually amazing. I was just absolutely amazed to see the way they work.
Mm-hmm.
If a woman misses her period, she makes a tea, and within 24 to 48 hours, the period starts again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many women in today's society know of that
mm-hmm.
fact, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I was saying that obviously there's some need, and what I'm proposing, I don't know whether or not Save the Children has a fund or something for this kind of a propaganda campaign. I like to use the word propaganda in the sense
right.
that Jackie Lou uses it, but
right.
it's for a sort of nice polish where you could say a ministry, because
right.
everybody loves that, you know.
Right.
But the bottom line is, you know, unless we actually, you know, convince governments that this is the thing to do,
mm-hmm.
I don't think it's going to get done, and if we're going to wait for corporations to do it, they're just not, because it's not in their it's not on their bottom line. It's not their interest is in sort of a marginal health, and so that they can continue to sell things that are reusable, like pills and condoms and so on and so forth. But they're not really interested in the long term or the absolute health of the public or anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what corporate reality is. So we can't argue with that. But the bottom line is that as a society, you know, I'm not just talking about your society, but as a global society, we need to really start looking at this because the major problems that we're having or going to have are related to overpopulation. And about one-third of that, if you study demographics, you can see a lot of that, about at least a third of that, is related to children having children.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think that if you were talking about even world or global law, we need to start, you know, doing something in terms of convincing publics and governments that they need to make a stand and to address this issue and say, look, we wouldn't allow a 15-year-old child to drive a car,
mm-hmm.
but yet we will allow a 15 or a 14-year-old girl living in a dumpster to have children,
yeah.
you know? And without the means to even take care of herself, she then has to, like, go out and prostitute herself or send her little brothers off to the wars or what, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just criminal. It's totally criminal, and I think it's time that we started addressing things in those terms.
Yeah.
So what I'm doing here now is I'm presenting you with information, and I'm saying, is there some way that you could pass this on to your membership, to your boards? I mean, I'm not exactly sure about Save the Children. Is it based religion-based organization? I don't even have those.
Well, we're non-religious, we're not political.
Right. So I think that what I'm saying should be, even in a secular sense, if we're talking about just pure ethics and survival of the species, those kinds of terms are ecological terms.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if we're talking about biology, then we need to be aware of the fact that nature has provided us with the herbs, and that we should have been using those all along. And it was the human greed machine, or whatever you want to call it. I don't want to get into a sort of rhetoric as to the reasons or motives, but obviously, you know, it's a given that colonization succeeds by making people dependent. And of course, I don't even want to go there with this, but I'm just saying that I think it's really important that people start to realize that we don't have to have synthetics or petrochemical products used for birth control.
Mm-hmm.
That nature has provided us with sufficient means in the forms of amenagogues and abortificants, and that the difference between using these successfully and not is, if you want to use the term education, and oftentimes, most of the time it goes off, it's not education, it becomes indoctrination in a lot of cases, but the bottom line is if we stress the fact that we need to educate, if you want, or pass on the information or inform children that, you know, these methods are available, that if you're having sex, that you can make a tea and not conceive, and that you shouldn't conceive under all, you know, because what they're really getting is, in a lot of cases, they'll go to the priest, and the priest will say, well, if you don't have the child, you're going to suffer eternal damnation and go to hell, you know,
right,
what I'm saying?
Right.
So, and I think that is the paramount of, I think it's a kind of a pedophilia, if you want, of the mind, to tell a young child that she is damned forever if she doesn't go and have this child.
Mm-hmm.
You see my point. I'm talking about ethics and technology here.
It's not good at all.
No. Yes. So, and I know your organization is dedicated, and I'm just certain that if people in your organization were aware of these things that I'm bringing to your attention today,
mm-hmm.
that there may be some sort of organizational shift or something in terms of or decision to actually move in a direction where some of these things may become a focus. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, what I would suggest is if you could send me that email, just with information, so that I could present it to some of my colleagues, you know,
okay,
the advocacy department, sort of strikes me in terms of our current advocacy work, so just see that we do give information about birth control, but it's more in relation to sexually transmitted diseases.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't really promote not using any birth control, which is do it with yourself. You'd open up the possibility of contracting things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be sort of a patch, but I think I could pass it on to them.
Well, I think that one of the things is that, you have, I've looked at your web pages actually this morning, and there's a whole section on children having children. I did a Google search or whatever it was, just the words children having children, and the first thing came up was your link to actually the American Save the Children organization. I don't know if you're affiliated or connected with them. But they had this whole article in there, and it just clicked to me. Pardon me?
Is it a report?
Oh, it's just a series of articles about the difficulties, the problems, the fact that, you know, actually women are biologically safest having children between the ages of 24 and 35,
right,
which is like, and of course anything other than those ages is putting the woman at risk as well.
Mm-hmm.
And of course if it's a case of a child, well, not only is the mother at risk, but the child, you know, being born into... If we're talking about, you know, issues like right to life, what about the right of a child not to be born into hell, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, those kinds of things. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm writing about these things. Like I said, I have my webpage, media12.com, and what I could do is, on a private site, I can actually post this conversation that we're having right now, so that you could listen to it.
I guess, but it would be easiest for you.
Yeah. And page again is media12.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm George Casey, K-A-S-E-Y.
Mm-hmm.
The project I'm working on is called Artificial Ignorance, and it deals with some of these things. And my phone number is 416-767-3033.